Electric vehicles have been hyped as the next wave of transportation, but with gas prices on the rise in 2021, what goes into moving away from the combustion engine and towards something many people are still unsure of? We spoke with electric vehicle owners who have already made the switch to learn their experience so far as part of WSGW series on electric vehicles, from pumps to plugs. With President Joe Biden's August 5th executive order aiming to transition 50% of all passenger vehicles sold to electric by 2030, wary businesses and consumers have been asking what changes they'll need to make to better utilize upcoming grants and infrastructure being put in place by the U.S. Department of Transportation and U.S. Department of Energy. Bay City resident Chris Smith, owner of a Nissan Leaf, says his recent decision to purchase an electric vehicle was based on the recent uptick in gas prices and his day-to-day routine.
It's a regular car for everything I need it for. Kind of an entry-level electric vehicle in terms of how much it costs. 80 miles on a full charge, so it's more of a get-around-town kind of car. I'm not going to go on long trips or anything. In this car specifically, this is a 2015, so it was one of the early electric vehicles.
Smith adds that because he lives close by, he's able to use the supercharger station at the Wilder Road Meyer store. An average charging session for Chris is just over $3, with a total from May 10th through August 24th of $75.25. Despite the comparatively lower cost at the pump, electric vehicle owners at the supercharger say there's a general shortage of fast charge stations as EVs become more prevalent. Dr. Rashad Farah is a Tesla owner and physician working in Sault Ste. Marie, who regularly drives from Ann Arbor.
I'm just driving through, so I have to stop and charge in Gaylord and Bay City every time. So it's not going to be something that's sustainable where everybody sits at a charging stop for 30 minutes.
As business owners adapt to an uptick in electric vehicles, more have been adding charging stations, but many say it's still not enough.
I don't think a lot of independent stores have jumped on the bandwagon quite yet. We're still just kind of seeing it getting massively adopted now.
Sean Opperman is the owner of both Chevy Volt and Midland's Cork and Ale on East Patrick Road, one of the few independent businesses in the area offering a station for vehicles to charge up. Opperman says Cork and Ale made the addition using the Consumers Energy Power My Drive program to assist with installation costs, but adds other retail facilities need to start adding stations as EVs become more common.
The state's program that actually pays for a majority of the installation costs. The deal's probably not getting any better. I think as time goes on, people are going to need to install them versus it being a nice additional utility.
The PlugShare app, used by many electric vehicle owners in search of a place to recharge, shows that in the city of Midland, not including car dealerships, there are only 4 registered locations available for public use. That's 1/4 of the 16 gas stations within city limits, 6 of which are on North Saginaw Road, within a mile and a half stretch, and within a half mile of each other. A wider view of the Great Lakes Bay region shows about 60 charging stations registered from as far north as Standish to as far south as Flint. Many of these are either registered to car dealerships, hotels, or campsites, or only offer a singular 50-amp, 240-volt, or lesser plug. With dealers holding such a prevalent footprint on the EV charging station map, car dealerships are starting to acknowledge both EV popularity as well as an impending loss of income from a drop in maintenance visits. Many EV drivers like Opperman or Tesla owner Kevin Rooker say they chose their cars because of the need for fewer repairs and service.
There's just a lot of basic maintenance that you can forget about with an electric car. That's the biggest perk.
Even if gas prices drop to make it almost parity, you still don't have tune-ups. You don't have oil changes. You don't have all that transmission fluid. You don't have any of that stuff you got to deal with.
Officials from both Garber Chevrolet in Midland and Thalen Audi Volkswagen in Bay City confirmed those statements. General Manager Joe Thalen and his EV specialist Lonzo Simmons say as electric charging infrastructure grows and the cars become more prevalent, they expect the need for service to slowly drop off since the vehicles don't require much in ways of oil changes, transmission checks, or other tune-ups.
You know, obviously on a gas car, it's every 10,000 miles for service. On these cars, there's no gas, there's no oil.
The electric motor really requires little or no maintenance. I don't think we're going to be changing many of those.
Thalen and Simmons say prospective customers often have questions about vehicle range. While an early model Nissan Leaf may get fewer than 100 miles on a full battery, many recent productions have more than tripled that. Thalen calls today's concerns about drive distance range anxiety. Some people interviewed said they wouldn't want an electric vehicle until it can go 1,000 miles on a full charge. The term range anxiety, while applicable to any car, has been mainly used to reference one of the biggest barriers to large-scale electric vehicle adoption. Phelan says the mileage newer EVs offer shouldn't discourage buyers, especially when compared to the output of gas-powered cars.
The range anxiety is much less of a concern in actuality. Even at 250 miles in a charge, that's over 4 hours of driving. Most cars with a normal-sized tank are going to get 450. And if you think about it, how many hours can you spend in a car before you need to get out?
Within the last 5 years, cars like Tesla's long-range Model S are hitting more than 400 miles on a full battery, and Ford's upcoming F-150 Lightning is estimated to have a 300-mile extended-range package, but that number increases significantly without the 1,000-pound load used in EPA examples. Thalen adds that in addition to these cars nearing the range of their gas-powered competition and offering services like home power backup in Ford's case, they should last nearly twice as long.
The best analogy I've heard on an electric vehicle, we've all got an old drill we got from our grandpa, and the thing still runs like $1 million. That's why I think we need to stop and think about these vehicles as more of an investment.
The cost to drive a vehicle is also cheaper when comparing a $3.16 gallon of gas in a 30-mile-per-gallon tank to the $3 cost to recharge 90 miles in a 2015 Nissan Leaf. With cost and repairs taken into account, does it feel any different to drive an electric vehicle? The cranking of an ignition, the rev of an engine, and the smell of gasoline are some things missing from the driving experience when you choose an EV. My experiences of driving electric vehicles were vastly different depending on the make and model. While speaking with Chris Smith, a close friend of mine from Bay City who let me drive his Nissan Leaf, the trip from the Meyer Supercharger to the Bay City Mall felt like driving any other gas-powered car, aside from the regenerative braking, that is. Chris said, I didn't need to completely hit the brakes, and it felt like the regen brakes slowly gripped the wheels until they came to a stop, using that resistance to slightly charge the vehicle.
I haven't noticed any difference in driving. I haven't noticed any difference in handling or anything or how it performs. It's a regular car for everything I need it for.
Lonzo Simmons from Thalen Audi Volkswagen took me on a test ride of the 2021 Audi e-tron, which had a much different feel than the Leaf.
Gross vehicle weight, the car is 6,200 pounds, and we take this car on a skid pad and stop from 70 miles an hour, and it stops on a dime. I have my socks blown off.
The acceleration kick in the Audi e-tron, as well as the Tesla Kevin Rooker was nice enough to let me peel off in, were enough to make me think I'd need to consider wearing a helmet to drive. The biggest difference between the two was the self-driving capability of the Tesla.
So now it's doing it on its own.
And you're not gassing it or nothing?
Not doing anything. It will speed up, slow down, maintain spacing behind cars. It recognizes cones. Yeah, it recognizes people. It recognizes bicycles, motorcycles.
Taking off like a rocket and self-driving may be very appealing, but when the battery lights come on and say it's time to charge, you still have to find one of those currently scarce charging stations. The city of Saginaw recently announced the addition of several new charging stations, but when will there be enough to satisfy the growing EV market? Two sites opened earlier this week in the Ipple Sign Park parking lot at 110 South Hamilton Avenue and offer DC fast charging. Six other level 2 240-volt charger plugs have been split between the area surrounding the SVRC marketplace and up the street from the fast charger on Hamilton. These eight stations are a welcome addition, but they're located in the heart of the city of Saginaw, not off a highway exit like many gas stations are. While they may appear to be a godsend for Kevin Rooker, who lives nearby with his Tesla, even he says more need to be installed to meet further demand, otherwise they won't make total sense.
When you fill up and you don't fill the battery all the way up because it's a waste of your time, it's kind of a dash and go. You fill up real fast for about 15, 20 minutes and then you take off and it gives you about 80%.
The Beaver Road Mobile Station Charger in Concolin and the Bay City Supercharger are directly off their freeway exits, but they're within a short drive of each other and a long drive for EV owners anywhere else in the Great Lakes Bay region. Because of that, Rooker says he mostly charges his Tesla at home.
It's instinctive now. We just reach for the handle on the charger. It looks like a gas nozzle, and we plug in, and then the car will charge up. It's slow. It's not like a supercharger where it's dumping in 40 miles every hour or whatever.
So much more still needs to be learned about electric vehicles before many will be convinced to make the investment. A big question is, when will the majority of EVs be priced more affordably? Also, are there any disparities between those who own EVs and those who don't? Many of the owners interviewed were unintentionally either Caucasian or someone in a higher wage job like Dr. Farah or Lonzo Simmons. Another question, What are the quality or safety concerns of these vehicles considering the recent Chevy Bolt battery recall? Only time will tell as the impact of these mechanical marvels stretches across the socioeconomic spectrum. Rick Antonio, News Radio 100.5 and 790.